Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, and we thank you for joining us. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard. A beautiful day here in Oklahoma.
Yes, here in Wyoming as well. You know, they talk a lot about Wyoming, the wind that just, you know, puts the Windy City to shame, and we're up, at least where we're at, about 7,200 feet, so you can't have the best garden and things like that, but you look at the weather across the land, and most of the time, we have the best weather ever. Beautiful day here, blue skies, 65 degrees. Got to do a little fencing this afternoon with my boys, and it was a great afternoon being out in God's country for sure.
And you've got some of that great rainbow trout fishing up there in those streams.
You know, there is some pretty good fishing. The boys, my one son is trying to learn how to fly fish, and the rest of us just use some little spinners, and so we're trying. We've caught a couple little browns, a couple little brookies, nothing real big, but we're trying. You know, Saturday we might get to sneak out and see if they'll bite something in the river. That's for sure. God is good to us. He you know, our cup runneth over with blessings for sure.
Amen. Amen. Well, we had 19 exorcisms this last Monday night, Brother Richard. I ministered to a man that had come from New Orleans, and it went very well. And even got the head demon up to where I was able to interrogate it, find out what was going on. And, it went extremely well. He had also a back problem, which disappeared at the end of the ministry as I prayed healing.
Praise the Lord.
So I'm still on a high from that one, and I just finished talking to one of our team leaders that had ministered also Monday night. We had a minister for each person, those 19 people, and she ministered to a young girl at 12 or 13 years old that did dancing, I think gymnastics or something along those lines. I believe she's with some group that goes around dancing, but she'd fallen a couple times and hurt her back, and also her ribs and all. And in the ministry Monday night, the the team leader reported to me how she was praying over that problem in these ribs that were damaged, and there was a popping sound, and all those came back into alignment, and her pain was gone. It was so devastating to her. She went out a happy camper.
Absolutely.
That's
praise the Lord.
Jesus.
Absolutely. Praise the Lord.
I'm still on a high from all those.
Praise the Lord. Well, I've got my Bible open to Ephesians 6. I thought I'd read that there about the armor of God. It's come to mind a couple times today, so if it's all right with you, I'll read a couple verses here because
it's a good one, you bet.
It is, and it's Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. And it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, I've been reading that for 20 years plus, 25 years almost, at least 23 years or so. And every time I read that, I get a new insight into it. It means more and more. Of what we do. Now, we have flesh and blood enemies. We have rioting. We have people, unfortunately, out there that wish to do us harm. And we certainly, we might turn the other cheek, but we've only got two cheeks. And so we do have physical enemies. But this says, once again, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then it goes on and tells us to put on the armor of God and armor of God and to stand firm. And then verse 18 says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." And I know that's part of what you guys do on Monday night is you pray in the Spirit. You're persevering for the saints. You're helping them. You're fulfilling the royal law of God by helping your neighbor, by loving your neighbor as yourself, and helping them.
Amen. And I think a good point on that scripture is that Paul was addressing Christians at the church at Ephesus.
Yes.
When he said that, he's not talking to unbelievers, he's talking to believers.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus. He is warning us. There's some doctrines around that suggest that Christians are immune, therefore we don't have to do anything. Well, that's not the way it works. I wish it was.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, we're the targets.
Yep.
Satan wants to block Christians' lives, block our ministries, our destinies, and certainly the use of our God-given gifts, to even block our finances, and he's doing a pretty good job at it. He's had a lot of practice.
Amen.
So he's got a running start with little us.
Amen.
The good news being in Jesus' name, like Luke 10:19, that we hang our hat on a lot, that where we have in Jesus' name all power over the enemy.
Yes.
And even a promise that nothing will harm us. So I quote that scripture a lot, and especially when I'm in ministry, because it tells the demons that we know who we are in Jesus, and they know who we are. They're just hoping we haven't learned it yet. So when you quote that scripture, they realize you've read the book and you bought into the scriptures of who you are in Jesus.
Amen.
And that's a big part of the battle. You've got to know who you are and how much power you have, and then you got to put the power on the targets.
Amen.
And that's what we did Monday night. We found, as usual, most people had about 36 demons. The person I worked with from New Orleans, he had every bit of that many, he got the Jesus overhaul. And that's why Jesus commanded believers to cast these spirits out. I see it now. Because most people have got them. They've come in through the generational doors. They've come in through doors we've opened up, the unforgiveness door being a major one, the witchcraft door, any messing with witchcraft and and Ouija boards, what have you, anything that promotes witchcraft will allow spirits to come in on us. So they've come in through many doors, and that's why, again, Jesus commanded believers to cast these things out in Mark 16:17, because so many people are tormented with them. And when they're cast out, of course, it's the real person that's left, now able to go forward unhindered by these several dozen some odd spirits and really do their destiny that we were designed to do all the time.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that forgiveness you mentioned, and that is such a huge part, truly, of Christianity and of how we are to live our life. You can read, we encourage you to read Matthew 18, starting in verse 21 through the end of the scripture, the end of the chapter, because there's so much there. It talks about handed him over to the torturers. And you know, so many of our people are tortured today. They truly are.
Yes.
And it's in the Word of God. It's certainly Christ uses this story here. He compares it to the kingdom of heaven, is what he's talking about. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king, and you can read about it there. And it all has to do with forgiveness. And the Apostle Peter was there with Christ, and he thought he had it figured out. He did. He, you know, when he says, "Well, Lord, should I forgive my brother up to seven times?" Right? And Peter, you know, was thinking pretty good of himself there, but he missed the mark. You know, he didn't have the understanding that Jesus was fixing to give him. And
yes,
and sometimes we get that way. You know, we are to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and. Just as I mentioned, reading that Ephesians, that we battle the spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places. We do.
We've got to get these doors closed,
yes,
to get the spirits out, because it actually gives them legal rights to be there. And as you mentioned, the unforgiveness door is huge. I ministered to a lady yesterday with a cancer problem. And I had to really lay it on her. She's had a lot of problems for many years with her husband, frankly, and the bitterness that she's carried, as I told her, is very likely been the very door that allowed the cancer to come upon her. It kind of startled her, I think, but I can't tiptoe in the daisies. I've got to get serious with this stuff and lay it out. I do a disservice to them not to lay out the truth that we've seen. The people we've seen set free from cancer and lupus and other diseases so typically had deep-rooted bitterness, sometimes festering all the way from childhood, or even more recent. I've seen that over and over, where there would be some major situation in their life where they would wind up carrying hate, especially, or and bitterness and all. And sure enough, some years later, after that's occurred, they come down with these major diseases. So, as Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors. Well, in Matthew 18:34-35, you'd have to admit cancer and lupus and other diseases is definitely a torment.
It is. It is. And we're commanded to forgive. We're commanded to not have malice. We're commanded to have the fruits of the Spirit. So if we claim to be Christians, if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we're obedient to Jesus Christ, and we do those things, well, I think that's what comes to mind when you mentioned that legal right that demons may have is, you know, if we say one thing, we have to live that as well. We do. Well, the phone's ringing, and
Amen.
Let's see if that's... I know we've got a caller calling in here. Good evening. Welcome to the program. Hello. Good evening.
Yes, this is Melba Tiffin.
Well, hi, Melba. You're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. All right. I'm ready. You got me on?
I hope you're ready. You're talking to thousands,
yeah,
broadcasting all over the world.
Okay. Oh, Everett, so. There you are.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, before I start, I'd like to say how important I think the deliverance ministry is. I've, you know, it's been about 20 years since I first learned about it, And I think that we have to have it. It's essential. And Everett, I'd like to thank you for all the years that you've dedicated your life to making this happen. Well, and how important. We won't know this side of heaven, the magnitude of it. So I just wanted you to know that.
Do you have a radio on in the background or something?
No.
It sounded like some echo, so I just wanted to check. Well, yeah.
Okay, is it doing it now?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's much better.
That's better?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay.
Go ahead, Melba, and share, if you would, how you first learned about this works of Jesus that's commonly called deliverance or exorcisms, and then also any experiences you're comfortable in sharing.
Okay. I was praying about it today, and I was asking Holy Spirit to tell me what, you know, would have made me feel more comfortable coming in. But what happened with me is I was actually at the beauty shop getting my hair cut, and the guy who cuts my hair started telling me he knew I was into spiritual, you know, anything that was of God. And so he told me about going to deliverance. And I thought, you know, it's like what I'd seen in movies or something, that only bad people had demons following them around, and if you went to church, you know, they didn't bother you. So that was the kind of the mindset that I had. But I kept thinking about it. He said he felt so much freer. And I kept thinking about it, and I thought, okay, I'll just, so it just evolved, and I ended up coming by myself, and I was pretty scared, because I didn't have any idea what to expect, or didn't know anybody there. But that night, I was pretty, you know, I was pretty shaky, so I don't remember. It went fairly smoothly, but what I noticed then the next day, when I looked outside, it's like the sun was brighter, the trees were greener, the grass was greener. It was like something had been lifted, you know, off. I felt a freedom that I had never felt before as an adult. So it was amazing to me. And so I kept coming back, and I do recommend that people do that, that they keep coming back. A lot of times people will just come one time. And they really need to come back and have different people work with them, because everybody does a little different things, and the Lord keeps working. We found as ministering deliverance that I found that every time I did deliverance with somebody, I got more free.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way God works. So. It's pretty amazing.
After you got set free, and you started learning how to do it yourself.
Yes, and about the time that I started coming was when we found out about head demon deliverance, and so that was pretty interesting. And we had a lot of nights there. We thought we had to get them completely free that one time in case they didn't come back. So sometimes we'd be there till, I'm sure you remember, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And
so
it's pretty interesting now. It's so much smoother and so much easier than
it was
back then.
Many years ago. How long ago was that, Melba?
That was, I believe it was in 1998, so almost 20 years. 18 years, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we have gotten better at it, where the typical usually through.
And we realize that people can come back again another time.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So I have some ideas here and some comments, but do you want me to go ahead and just tell you about different people that I've worked with?
Sure.
Or just give you what I've...
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Melba.
Okay. First of all, I think that everybody, or most everybody who comes, are worried about what people will think. They worry about what the ministers will think or what they should say. You know, the enemy just tries to berate people and cause them to worry about that. So I wanted to reassure everybody that we're just there to love them and see them free. There's one thing that you said over the years that has always impressed me, and you said that no matter what happens while someone is there, the people who are with us, no matter what happens, that you want them to leave knowing that they're loved. And that's that just stuck with me all these years. I was so grateful for that. And to know that the Holy Spirit is in complete charge, that they're safe, and that there's a team praying for them even during the time when you're talking to them out front, that there's a team praying for them so that we'll be ready. And as much as possible, if people can just relax and enjoy it and realize that, you know, there's no rules or anything to that they have to worry about. And to know that every deliverance is different. I think over the years, I've never seen two that are just alike. So and it's kind of fun just to sit back, and sometimes I'll do that and just watch, see what Holy Spirit's going to do.
Yes. I think I said this, but in case I didn't, that we're not judging anybody.
We just want people to come. It's interesting in deliverance, I have found that most of the time, I don't even remember what they, you know, if there's something that they're embarrassed about or don't want to talk about, I don't even remember it after they leave. And we're not there. We're not concerned about that. We just want them to be free. Another thing that the enemy will do is try to convince people that they're taking up too much time, that too much problem, too much of a bother, and that's a lie from the enemy, because, you know, we want to take whatever time we need. And also that we have all kinds of people. We have everything from pastors to the homeless, all races, all classes, rich and poor. It's a melting pot. I think that's one thing that makes it, Everett, that makes it so successful, is that there's all kinds of people. It's a multi-gathering. It's not anyone in charge, other than the Holy Spirit tells you how to match people up. So I'm glad about that. And
it always surprises me how he'll have me put someone, a team leader, with a certain person, and then later I hear how it was a perfect match.
That's what I've had just recently. There was a woman that I had, and she said that she, I don't remember what transpired, but she said that she had prayed before she came that someone would, you know, go that route. So, yeah, the Lord just does it. So, and I was going to tell the manifestations, people are interested in knowing about that because they hear all kinds of different stuff. But the signs that I saw most is laughing and yawning. And sometimes people will burp, but usually laughing and yawning were the main ones that I saw. So it's not like that's going to be embarrassing to anyone. You know, the enemy will try to convince them they're going to really do weird stuff and be embarrassed, but that's not true. And
yawning's quite common. Occasionally burping or coughing, but yawning is the most common of all. And or they just feel it go. They'll often say to the minister, "Oh, you got that one."
Yeah, I had a little girl one time, I think she was 5 years old, the youngest one that I had. Her grandfather brought her, and I think she was a Native American little girl, just precious little girl, and so we worked with her for a little bit, and her grandfather had been a part of the deliverance ministries for a while, and she finally just had this little bitty yawn, just this cutest little yawn, and her grandpa said, "That's it." And she had been really tormented, and her mother was so impressed that the next week her mother came to get deliverance. So that's one thing too I wanted to tell parents, that so often when the parents get free, the children do too. It carries over with the children.
Definitely.
And
Yeah, we normally recommend the parents go through first. With their own children, we found if the parents will go through first, often the child doesn't need it because these generational curses and all are broken off.
Yeah.
And the child's under the spiritual authority of the parents.
Mm-hmm. That's, the enemy uses accusation, and he tempts us and uses accusation and tries to mess us with us, and then he traps us, and then he accuses us. It's his thoughts, and that helps me so much in deliverance when I found out that the ugly thoughts or the judgmental thoughts that I had, that was the enemy, and because y'all taught me that I could ask myself, did I want that thought? No, I didn't, so it's not mine, and I don't receive it, and I give it back to the enemy and tell him where he can take it. And that's helped me a lot.
Life program is so common. That life program is on every Christian, I think, and negative kinds of things coming into our heads are trying to walk us down the wrong path. It's a deceiver. We run into that lie spirit constantly. Monday night, I had the demon give me his top 10 lies it was saying into his head. And, there seemed to always be there.
Yeah. The same old tricks. It's the same old thing that he uses over and over. But anyway, I was going to tell about one. There was one lady, you probably will remember, she came week after week, and she brought with her everything she owned in a grocery cart thing. And she lived at that mission down on Reno. And so she came, and I took her home. And one night it was too late for her to get, they had already locked the door, so she was going to have to sleep outside, and I had an old blanket in the trunk, so I gave it to her. And she was so grateful. That's one thing I've noticed. Some of the people who have so little are so grateful, and that is so precious that they feel that way. But anyway, a few months later, I was at a gathering at a big church, and I heard someone call out my name across the lobby there and came running up to me. And it took a little bit for me to recognize her. She was all dressed up. She had gotten an apartment, and she had a job. And that is what really makes it all worthwhile. When you see that happen, when you see a life turned around like that, then what it's doing. And then there was a man who was there one night. I think this one was kind of funny. This was, he actually was associate pastor. And the head demon was really, really, really angry. And this man was in the natural, was a very calm, normal, nice guy, but this demon was a bad news demon. Anyway, we didn't get through, and so I did all the stuff I was supposed to do, to make sure he wasn't bothered before he could get back the next week. So the next week I came in, and I was all excited. I thought, oh, good, I was ready. I was going to really enjoy seeing what the Holy Spirit was going to do, and he wasn't there. So I came to you, and I said, Everett, what happened to him? He's not here. And he said, oh, he was at my office before I got there the next morning. He was there for you to do the deliverance on him. So I thought that, so it's everybody. It's not just people on the street or whatever. It's everybody. We all need freedom. And
yes, from all walks of life. Those that are well off financially need the ministry just as bad as the others.
There's one thing. Let's see, our time's just about up. There was one thing that has helped me lately that I read in a book, and I'm just going to share it because it has helped me so much. It's in a book by an author named Brené Brown. And the name of the book is Rising Greatly. Rising Strong. And I know I'm supposed to always, if I quote somebody, I'm supposed to credit what they said. But she had a in there, do we believe that in general people are doing the best they can given their particular set of circumstances and where they've come from and what's going on? Are they, do we believe that they are doing the best they can? And yeah. I thought about that. My first reaction was, are you kidding? And then after I thought about it for a while, I thought, you know, I don't know if people are all doing the best they can, but when I believe that, I do. I feel better. It sets me free. Mm-hmm. If I believe that they're doing the best they can, then I don't go around judging them and everything. So that was something I wanted to share with everybody. Is that, and I think for the people coming for deliverance, if I realize that they're doing the best they can.
Yes.
And trust, just trust God to take care of it, change whatever needs to be changed. Anyway.
So many
okay.
need a teaching. Yes, so many need a teaching, Melba, that they have these problems, but they have no idea. They just think it's their flesh. They're not, they haven't read these scriptures like Ephesians 6. 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and they just figure it's their own problems. And not knowing that there's some answers in Jesus' name where we can cast these things out and they're not tormented with them. And that's, of course, as you know, what we do.
There's another thing that I thought about. Do I still have a couple minutes or need to go? Or
no, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
On forgiveness, I was thinking about that. I think that when I, you know, whenever I first came to get deliverance, I thought, how can I do that? You know, I knew I was supposed to forgive, and I was really green. I still don't know very much, but anyway, then I really was green. But I thought, how, you know, at first I thought, how can they expect me to forgive, you know, when someone's done this or that? And I think that what, you know, what you taught us is that it's a choice. We choose to forgive. And if we keep forgiving over and over, it will eventually, we'll start to, we'll feel the difference. But I think that one thing that people need to know, that if you still feel, if you've been deeply wounded, deeply hurt, and you forgive, you still have to deal with the pain. You know, there's still, and so not, what I'm saying is that people need not put themselves down or feel like they didn't really get it or that the deliverance didn't work or whatever because they still feel, because the enemy will use that. Well, you know, you still feel the same way. You still think the same thoughts. But no, we make the choice and then lean into the pain and then the Lord will heal us then as he exposes. He exposes so he can heal.
That's why we do so much inner healing, is because...
That, oh, inner healing is crucial.
And Jesus comes in and heals the bad feelings connected with the events supernaturally, and it jerks the rug out from under those demons that are feeding off of that.
Oh, yeah. And if people will use your book is so wonderful, your book about, you know, the whole, the comprehensive one. If people, I like to go back periodically and on myself and do deliverance and do the inner healing and the soul ties and all of that. I find that to be very freeing. Go back and do that, and also on your website that you have all that information. But anyway, I just so grateful that you've done this, and that Deliverance Ministry is happening. And I believe that Deliverance Ministries will start to happen in mass. I believe that is coming, that whole masses of people will get delivered. And
amen.
I long to see
that
day when that happens. So anyway, and so
well,
I think that's all I have, unless you want to ask me some more questions.
Well, Melba, thanks a lot, Melba. We've got our other caller, Julie, waiting, so we'll move on.
Okay,
to her.
All right. Blessings on you, all of you. Blessings,
yes.
Everett. Thank you.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, did you hear the joy in her voice? You know, she is happy in the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Well, Julie's called. Let me bring Julie on, and she's been waiting patiently. And Julie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi, Julie.
Hello, Everett.
Yeah, I'm so glad you called in. We're having some fun telling about how we've learned about deliverance and experiences that we've had, and it's so important to share with people that have no idea about it, just as we didn't until someone did share. So maybe you could go ahead and tell how you first learned about this area, this works of Jesus called deliverance or exorcisms, and then any experiences you've seen or healings.
Yes. Well, I first learned about it. I wished I had learned about it a long time ago. But when I first learned about it, it was, I guess, about a year ago, and my husband had saw you in the magazine at Mardell's, and he talked about it and said, you know, maybe we should go up there. So that's how it first started, and of course, I've gone through, two or three different times, but I've had so much... I've had so much pain in my life, and I suffered from panic attacks and depression, which we know is fear and oppression from the enemy my entire life. And so going through the sessions that I did, I just felt so much lighter. And really, to be honest with you, with the door-closing prayer that they first do, the Holy Spirit, I was so... wanting to be free, that the Holy Spirit began to work on me before I even got with my minister. The inner healing, just doing the door closing prayer, I didn't realize just how much unforgiveness and bitterness. I mean, the Holy Spirit was just showing me so much during that time that I had. And I didn't really realize just how that can affect you in so many ways. And just looking back on my life, the Lord has just kind of shown me my entire life, really. I've just had a lot of hurts, wounds, and it just turned into bitterness and forgiveness, and I carried that just my entire life. So coming to the ministry, getting back to that, it really began with the door closing prayer. That is a must. It's so important to have that and to understand that more. And then when you get with your minister, just how much lighter I felt, how much freer I felt. But then also I realized the importance, depending on what you're coming out of. I really believe each individual person is different for their healing and deliverance. Some may need more, and Everett, even coming to you, I mean, you took me way back from the beginning of my life, and recognizing that it really can begin in the womb. And I think a lot of people don't really realize that. I felt rejected. I felt a lot of things that started way back, and I think just rejection throughout my life, and a lot of wounds on top of wounds. But just to be able to recognize that and know that you have a place and you're not alone, that you have a place that Jesus can really come in if you allow that, and just touch you and heal you and speak to you, and even all the lies that the enemy over the years had just implanted in me, but then to be able to recognize and hear Jesus talk to you and even see you. And even the, I don't even think I shared this with you, Everett, but I was like, it was, I felt so dark at the time. But then whenever you were talking about the gifts that the Lord, the Holy Spirit had given me, it was almost like I was seeing a light and I was trying to grasp for those during my deliverance. It was, I just wanted to so much get out of what I was in that I was almost like grasping for that light and for the gifts. And then just coming out of it, I just felt so much better, and knowing that all of that was a lie that I had listened to all these years, and then to know the truth that I am worthy and that God has placed gifts within me, that I'm not just all of this pain and everything that I experienced wasn't in vain, that it, I'm learning more and more that it's to be used for His purpose to help others. And that is what is so beautiful and so wonderful about this healing and deliverance ministry. And I just know that there's so many people that once they realize, and by word of mouth, I think, is the best way, and your programs like this, when people can hear and understand that they don't have to live their life like this. They don't have to live their life in fear and pain and all this, that there's, God can bring them out of that, that they can be freed from it. And then once they receive the healing, and it's a process for everyone. You know, I felt one night I went to minister, and I wanted to be ministered too. Well, you know what God did? This is how amazing He is. The lady received the gift that she was eagerly wanting, was the gift of tongues. And so she received that, her heavenly language, and she was praying and singing praises to the Lord while I was ministering to her. So I got ministered. I got my ministry.
Praise God.
I got ministered to while I was ministering to her. And so it was just so amazing and so beautiful what God can do. I mean, I went thinking I needed to be ministered to some more, and I got it. And so God is just so amazing, and I'm so thankful. I'm so, so, so thankful for you, your ministry, what all you're doing. And I just, I know that there's going to be so many more people. I mean, it's almost like I see visions of so many of these that are going to be coming about, because there's so many hurting people out there, and they just don't know what to do. You know, you try to, I was one, I mean, I tried to quote the scripture, I tried to do everything that I knew that I was supposed to do, you know, renew my mind and all of this, but what we don't realize a lot of times is there's generational curses. There's, with me, even there was assignments that the enemy from the very beginning really wanted to take me out, and God has shown me along the way His handprints, His fingerprints on my life of how many times He spared me. Well, you look at that and you think, well, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus came that you have life and you have it more abundantly, and He's got a purpose for you. And so just recognizing how He's been with me all this time, even being hospitalized and in the hospital and put on all this medication and being able to get off of all this medication, and just by His sweet grace and mercy and His love. But, you know, I just thank you. I thank you for the ministry. I praise God that He put it in your heart to do this and to help so many people, and I just know so many more people are going to be helped by this. So I thank you.
Well, thank you, Julie, and of course that's what we are believing. Julie, when you were ministered to, could you feel these spirits moving, or what? How did you know they were going?
I did. I mainly it was in my stomach. I just felt it's almost like it didn't want to go. You know, it was just kind of like a pain. I also at other times I felt it coming, like mine was mainly coming down my arm and out my fingers, like I just wanted to shake my hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was in the ministry, in some of the other ministries, but mine was mainly that way. It was mainly in my stomach, and then I felt it kind of moving down my arms, and then I just needed to shake my hands out. And then I just did that, and I told it. I said, "You go in the name of Jesus. You go in the name
yeah.
of Jesus," because that's very important. Because it really.
I usually put the Bible around their hand when they say it's down in my hand. You know. And
yeah. Well, I whenever I minister, I do that. But I just automatically did it, and it was like out they went. And I just told them, and I think it's important to engage in that. And it just shows them, you know, you have no right.
Yeah.
And so I think that's very important for people to know, that to be, you know, just be firm about it and say, no, you know, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Go in Jesus' name. You go from me.
Yeah.
And
so
that's what I've learned a lot, just to take that authority that we have in Jesus' name. And,
yes.
You know, he gives us all authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. And so if we can just remember that and just take our authority that we have, to think that we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us that raised Jesus from the dead, we have that power, and we need to remember. We need to remember, but also we need to help those. We need to help those others that are just coming along, and that's my heart, because I didn't have it all those years. And so that's my heart, to be able to help set those others free. You know, Jesus came to set the captives free, and that's my heart. I want to do that. And I thank you, Everett, because I am so free now, and I know my authority, and I know that I'm growing stronger and stronger each and every day. I believe there's still wounds, you know, little wounds that probably still need to be healed because of my life. But, you know, nothing is impossible for Jesus, right, and those who believe. So,
Julie,
I trust and believe.
As you have received your freedom you're a new team leader, and you've, how many ministry cases have you done now?
I've done 3, and they have uh-huh. been wonderful. I've checked up on them, and they just are so, it's just amazing to see them and to hear their voice. And even the young lady that received the gift of tongues, and she was just singing and praising, and she's just so, that has helped her tremendously, tremendously. And I'm just so thankful. But, you know, she went there eagerly expecting, and I think that's a big part of it. When you are hungry and you really want to be free, and you know that there is more that you can have, you know, he says to ask. He tells us to ask him and believe.
Yes.
And you will receive. And
yes.
That is what she did. And we didn't even finish through. And I don't know if I shared that with you, Everett, but she wanted it so badly that after breaking the soul ties, we went there. And I explained to her how I received it. And I was born and raised Catholic, and the only thing, I mean, I knew the Lord's Prayer, and I was just saying the Lord's Prayer over and over and over one day, Our Father who art in heaven, and then it just started flowing into the tongue. So that's what, how the Holy Spirit led me. And so that's what
Praise
we did.
God.
So we were saying the Lord's
yeah.
Prayer, and then all of a sudden, she just started flowing. And it's been, she just started singing. And praising the Lord in our heavenly language.
Singing
it was just, huh?
I'm sorry. She was singing in the spirit, even.
She was singing, yes, while I was ministering to her.
Uh-huh.
So, see, I went wanting ministry, which we didn't have enough ministers, so, you know, I ministered, but I got ministered to. That is how good our God is.
You know,
amen.
I think that's one reason we all feel so good at the end of the evening as a minister, and part of it may be we blow anything out of our own selves going through the process, speaking in the name of Jesus, anything hanging around us blows out too.
That's right. That is exactly right. Boy, there is power in that name. Power in the name of Jesus, that's for sure.
Well, Julie, are you sharing now with others that you, of course, it seems to be that the hurting people are all around us, and it's word of mouth usually that brings them in. Are you sharing quite a bit now?
I have been sharing a lot, and I've been taking your little cards, and in fact, several people from our church have gone, and they've gone more than once. So, yes, Everett, I am sharing, and they're eager to, you know, to get out from under this. You know, we all know that there's more, but it's just knowing how. A lot of times, it seems like we just get so beat down in the world, but now they know that there's a way out and an easier way, you know. And so, yes, I've been sharing, and I know I'm going to be sharing more, and I'm just real excited to see more and more people set free. That is my heart. That is what I want to see. And I know it's going to happen.
There's so many people that are hurting out there, and like you say, they really don't know what to do, but you hit on it earlier. The most major prerequisite to getting free is to want to be.
That's
right.
There
are a certain number of people that are not ready. They like their drugs. They like their demons, sexual demons, what have you, and a witchcraft even. And they have to get tormented enough, we've seen. If they get tormented enough, many of them will finally reach out. And that's when we can take them by the hand. When they say, I'm ready, help me, we can take them by the hand, go through the process that we've learned, these steps, and get them to the goal line of freedom and even physical healing. So it's there for whoever will seek.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But we still share with those, and then whenever, you know, we plant that seed. And then, like you said, when they get desperate enough, but there are those that are desperate now, and those are the ones that are coming and getting set free, and then hopefully their friends that maybe are still bound will see that, and it'll just be a flow, you know. They'll see the freedom that they have, and that they'll want to come.
Yes. Yeah.
It's going to happen.
We have a huge need worldwide, and most Christians, even though never get free, it's a sad thing. But that's why we're on the radio tonight, telling it, is to try to spread the good news that there are answers, and you can live life abundant if you'll free up. And then Jesus' way is the easy way.
Yes,
is the easy way. Trying to do it with the willpower is a horrible way, and a hard way.
That's for sure.
Jesus' way is an easy way.
That is exactly right. And I really see it happening in churches. I really believe that we're at that time that we're going to have it. Because I had a vision of a bridge, and there was a lot of hurting people. I don't know if it was a vision or a dream. It was, you know, when you're half asleep, whatever. But there was a lot of broken people on the one side of the bridge, and they were the kids nowadays, the young people. They're you know, they have all the piercings and the tattoos, and but they're so gifted and their hearts are so good, but they don't know how to express it. But anyway, they were reaching out to me. I was just reaching out, trying to reach them, but the bridge was broken, and I woke up and came out of that, and I was like, Lord, what was that? Why couldn't I get to the people? And he said the bridge represented the church. And until the church is well and strong enough, because there's so many people, you know, especially young children, you know, wanting to commit suicide, they're cutting themselves. I mean, it's horrendous of all the torment that they're going through. But that's what that was, and he showed that to me, and it's like the church must get well and be strong enough, know their identity in Christ, and walk in that authority. And so I believe this healing and deliverance ministry is that, is what we need in order to reach the world. But we have to ourselves receive the healing and deliverance and everything that we need, you know, to be strong, to where they will see, you know, that who Jesus really is. I mean, you know, we got to be that light, and how can we when we're oppressed or in fear and all this, you know?
Yes.
We have to be free ourselves.
Amen. Well, Julie and Pastor Cox, we're out of time tonight. Pastor Cox, I would suggest having Julie back sometime, because I've thoroughly enjoyed, Julie, your testimony and your praising.
Yes.
And,
awesome.
So, yeah, definitely. We're just out of time. And we had,
well, thank you.
We had a caller,
appreciate it.
So, well, thank
you. Well, bless you all.
Thank you, Julie.
Bye-bye.
Julie.
Pastor
bye-bye.
Cox, we had another caller from Oklahoma-Texas border, Christina. She's going to be checking your website out and giving you guys a call tomorrow. And also had a woman, Anna, called in from Canada for prayers. And so, busy night. A good night. Good night. Not a busy night.
Amen.
We don't like busy, but a great night to the glory of Jesus Christ. So, well, thanks again. For being on the program, and great testimonies. I know they were encouraging to people. They were encouraging to me.
Yes.
Me here. So.
Blessings to you, Brother Richard.
And to you. Thanks so much. And folks, remember, the website is deliveranceusa.com. Deliveranceusa.com.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn.